Father, thank you for another day and another opportunity to get into your word and to allow your word to just saturate our hearts and lives, causing us, Father, to further understand what the Spirit is saying to us as the church today, so that we might be more centered to your will, that we might fulfill that which you've ordained in our purpose. All of these things we ask and thank you for, in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark to begin with this morning. The Gospel of Mark, we're going to continue to look at our subject having to do with removing veils. In this particular series, we're dealing with, hopefully, things that speak very specifically to every one of us and helps us to understand that there could be something in the way of our believing that has caused us to misinterpret God's will for our lives. Sometimes life itself can dish out some things so strong that we tend to believe it above God and Himself. Yeah. Sometimes our experiences can be so deep and so life-altering and changing that we can put it above the Word of God itself. And this is just something that we experience in our humanity. We're all born into this world in sin. Every one of us is born into this world in sin. So there are things that in the sin nature of the world that is able to jump on our lives and to cause us to be conformed to an image that is not like that of Christ. And that's why all of us have to be born again. Every one of us face different types of trials and tests, temptations, trials and tribulation, every single one of us. And we can't choose what we go through. Right. Yeah? You don't choose what you're going to go through and what you're going to experience in life. The things that are going to bring pressure to bear on your life. You don't choose that. It's just handed to you. And but you know, the good thing is that we have the gospel. Amen. We have the gospel. As a matter of fact, keep your finger right there in Mark. Did I tell you what chapter in Mark? All right. Well, keep your finger in Mark, and we'll go back and we'll find your chapter that you can look at here in a moment. We'll go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, first of all. We have the gospel, and see, this is the game changer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the game changer in our lives. No matter what infirmity we are touched with, no matter what we are afflicted with, we have the gospel, and the gospel of Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul said as he was ministering to the church there in Rome, those believers in Rome. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For it is God's power working unto salvation." Now, I like that. Here again, this is one of those scriptures that we read and we're very familiar with, but we need to practice Isaiah chapter 55 or so, 54, 55, where he said, "Wait and listen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation. So in the gospel is what we need, what we listen to, what we ascribe to, that works unto our salvation. Do you see where I'm going with that? You see, the power of the message in the gospel itself works unto salvation. Yeah, you're saved. You have salvation. But there's still some stuff you need to be saved from. Are you with me now? Yeah, you confess Christ as your Lord. But you still need deliverance. You still need to be emancipated from some things. That's right. And the proclamation of your emancipation is in the gospel. It's in the gospel. Amen. And as the good news is proclaimed, it's working unto your freedom, your deliverance, your emancipation, your deliverance in areas that you may not even be aware of yet. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that works unto salvation. Right? See, I'm yet being delivered. Hallelujah. The word of God is working mightily in me. Amen? See, I'm not going by what I see, what I feel, anything that my senses can drum up and give me a picture of. What I'm looking at is what is being proclaimed to me out of the gospel. Amen. There's hope in the gospel. Yes. When I hear the gospel, it's always pointing to a place that is God's ideal for my life. It's where I'm conformed to the image of Jesus himself. Hallelujah. And I'm walking in that freedom. That's my hope. That I will be as he is. And the scripture says in this life. So it's not all when we get to heaven. But it's in this life. So I've got great hope. I'm making progress. I'm moving on up. Hallelujah. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation. Listen to this. For deliverance from eternal death. Now, you don't like to hear this, and I don't either. But you have eternal death in you. There are attributes and things of death that are yet on your life. And it's the proclamation of the gospel that emancipates us eternally from anything akin to death. And it's supposed to begin in this life, in the here and now. And that's why we have to be sure that we don't have veils in our conscious and subconscious lives cloaked over certain areas where our belief is shaped, where the way that we believe is shaped and comes into being. We've got to get freed up. And the only way that we can really get free and to enjoy all that God has provided is to give ourselves to the gospel. We have to give ourselves to the gospel. You can wrangle with God all you want to, talking about what you don't understand, and you just keep on not understanding it. Amen. You just have to come to the place where you accept by faith, this is God's way of doing things, and I accept it, and whether I understand it or not, I'm going to confess that I do. I'm going to confess that I understand it, and I'm going to confess that I believe it, and I'm going to confess that this is my inheritance, and therefore I'm going to get to enjoy it. Hallelujah. You don't make any progress running around talking about I just don't get it. I don't understand it. God said it, that settles it.
Right.
Amen. That settles it. Whether I believe it or not, I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. God said it, that settles it. And yourself be saying, but I don't believe it. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I believe it because God said it. Now, you just have to be, you have to settle. You have to settle down and accept that you are a believer. You are a believer. And so I just accept what he says. Even if I can't wrap it around this little pea brain of mine, I'm still going to believe it. I accept it because he said it. Glory to God. Because it's the gospel that I give myself to. Right? That leads me to my deliverance. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death. Look at this. To everyone who believes with a personal trust. You got to use personal trust when it comes down to the gospel because there's plenty of stuff in there you can't wrap your pea brain around.
Amen.
Plenty of it. By the time you think you got a handle on stuff, then the Lord will lay something on you. You go, whoa, wait a minute. Wait. Send me an angel or something. He knows how to get your attention. Amen. To everyone who believes with a personal trust. Trust is a part of my belief system. I've got to trust the gospel. I have to trust it. If he says it, I have to believe it. I just have to trust what he says. My feelings don't have anything to do with it. I mean, we entrap ourselves so many times. I just don't see it. Take your glasses off. That's just to make a point. You don't see it that way. That's not how you see it. My contacts are fogging up. If I had a spiritual hose pipe, I'd let you have it right in the contacts. Wash them bad boys right out of there. That's not how you see it. Right? This is not received with natural intelligence. Anything that the Lord says has to be received by faith. By faith. Everything in God that pleases God is done out of the reality of faith. That's the only way that it'll work. It won't work any other way. You have to accept it because he said it, because he's God. And then trust him. Trust him with all your heart. That's why the gospel is good news. It brings great promise to everybody. Everybody. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Man, there's some people with some really deep problems in the world today. Deep. There's people that you wouldn't forgive that God will.
Right.
There are going to be people in heaven that you wouldn't have allowed in there. Some of them going to beat you. And some of them may go beyond the rewards that you receive. And you wouldn't have even let them in. That's God for you. He's a forgiving, full of grace, loving, long-suffering. forbearing God. No wonder Paul was so excited about the gospel. I mean, look what it gives to us. Everyone who believes with personal trust and a confident surrender. A confident surrender. Somehow the Lord by the Spirit has to bring you to a place of confidence in your surrender to God. Because many of God's people will surrender and then they'll go and they'll take their surrender back. It's like casting our cares on the Lord. We're supposed to cast our cares on the Lord and leave them there. And many times we'll have church or prayer and we'll cast the care over on the Lord and then we'll decide to take it up during the week all over again and start going through the same anxiety and worry and frustration all over again. See, we habitually do things that undermine what the gospel is giving us, is proclaiming to us. We have to be confident in our surrender to God. What does that mean? You have fears in your life about totally surrendering to God, if you'll be honest, every one of you. You have some fear about total surrender. It's just like it was, you know, when I was asking the Lord about a wife. In the first place, I didn't want to be married. I thought, I'm free now. I'm not running around fornicating. And God had to deliver me of that because I was bound. And it felt so good to be free and not to be living that kind of lifestyle. I was saying, Lord, I just want to stay like this. I like this. I like this freedom. I like not being locked up in that cell and having to be manipulated by my feelings and almost made to do stuff out of my own feelings because I was out of control. And I said, I just want to stay single and serve you the rest of my life. Well, God had another plan. And when he showed me his plan, he didn't show me my wife. He just gave me the plan. No, I want you to be married. Well, my confident trust in him was being tested right away. If I surrender to that, ain't no telling who he gonna give me to marry. Ain't no telling what she gonna look like. I mean, I like some control in my life here. You know what I'm saying? So my confident surrender was being tested. But he worked with me and he brought me to the place where I was willing to receive the spouse that he had ordained for me regardless of any of my fear. And it wasn't until then that we finally met each other. And then God further confirmed it by dreams, you know, a couple of dreams to me, because I'm the one that need to be convinced. I was so fine, she couldn't help it. She just had to fall in love. I had the spirit of GQ on me. What you talking about? No. But I was the one. I repent of that, sweetheart. Can I kiss you? Hey, thank you. I'm forgiven. I was the one that needed to be convinced. And so I implored, I went before God in serious prayer. I said, God, I got to know. Because if you want me to be married, I got to know. Right? Deep down inside, I knew who I was. And I need to be married to the right person if this is going to work. Amen. And so God gave me that. And then I was able to just dispel fear. Fear no longer was in operation in this whole plan of God anymore whatsoever. I surrendered to it confidently. Confidently. And my confidence brought about assurance. And that's got to happen in every one of our lives, in every area of our lives, in anything that might be touching our lives. Anything. Nothing's too hard for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Nothing. There's absolutely nothing too difficult for our God. But you have to surrender confidently and have personal trust in your God. You have to lay it down. Hey, honey, I know whatever you may be facing might be difficult, but let me tell you something. There's bigger stuff out there than what you're going through. You can't focus on it right now, but there's some bigger stuff coming down the road. Amen. Paul would probably never have dreamed that his religious worship of God would have led him to the place where he would have to take a beating, be left for dead, be robbed, be shipwrecked, be bitten by a snake just so that somebody could see that the miracle working power of God. Come on, God, I got to be bit by a snake? Come on now. Couldn't it be a mosquito, you know, like a malaria or something? I mean, you know, God doesn't just come right out and tell you everything that you're going to face. He doesn't just disclose everything you're going to go through. But there's one thing that can prepare us for whatever we might face in life. Confident surrender. Confident surrender. Because God takes us up when we're in that place. Hallelujah. And then beyond that, it says, firm reliance. And when you think about something being firm, you think of it being immovable. Right? If there's a strong wind that comes up because of a tornado or some type of outburst of a storm, and you're in the wind and it's blowing, you'd look around for something like a light pole, something that's made out of iron, because it's firm and immovable, and you grab that thing. And though your feet might go behind you like this, that thing doesn't move. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, this is what God gives us. Now, here you go again. You see, that veil that shapes the way that we believe in religion will make an individual at this point think, Lord, that's what I need, is some firm reliance on Him. Now, wait a minute. Jesus bought and won for you everything that this scripture is talking about at Calvary. Amen. This is a place where you have to get out of your emotions and your feelings. And you have to step up by faith and say, I have that firm reliance in my God. Amen. Jesus won it for me.
Hallelujah.
It's in me because of salvation. Jesus had it. And when you get saved, He lives in you. He didn't take off firm reliance and leave it somewhere and didn't come into you and become your Savior. Everything that He had that got Him through Calvary to the cross, off the cross, in the grave, up from the grave, He arose. Every bit of it He brought with Him when He came into your heart. You have everything that He has. But you see, many believers don't realize it because their worship, their religious worship is cloaked with this sense of, I've got to do something in order to get this. I've got to be a certain way, a certain person. God wants to bring me to a place where I'm more pleasing to Him. Yeah, I think a lot of believers are in a place where they don't actually believe that God likes them. That He even likes them. I know God don't like me because when my pastor starts preaching real strong, He looks right at me. And if He's not all the way looking at me, that left eye, I can see that left eye. I can see it. It's coming over there. Oh, Lord. I'm going to have to get like Darth Vader and get me a helmet and put it on so nobody knows where I'm looking. just
speak the word.
Then when I pull out that sword, it'll go. Oh, Jesus. All right. Jesus had firm reliance. Jesus had confident surrender. Jesus had personal trust. Jesus believed in what the Father said. And he's never, ever stripped himself of any of those attributes. And he lives in you. No wonder the Lord said in the book of Philippians, I will create in you the power both to will and to do of my good pleasure. No wonder he said that. Now we like to look at that scripture as though he's yet operating to bring it about. But I believe when he was saying it was prophetic, and he actually was saying that I am going to do it, and he did it in Christ. He did it in Christ. You can already say by faith, I'm willing to do anything that God has for me to do. I'm already willing to go anywhere God would have me to go. I'm already willing to give anything that God would have me to give. Everything that I have belongs to him. I'm not my own anymore. You can say that by faith because God's already done it. I said he's already done it. Oh, Jesus. It's the gospel. It's all in the gospel. My proclamation to my emancipation from everything that's unlike God. And he said it was to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. Turn around, look at your neighbor and say, hey, brother, sister, Greek. Amen. You're the Greek. You're the Greek. You're a Gentile. That's all that refers to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 15. I'm just going to read this because it needs to be repeated every once in a while. Because this is where this whole message came from, that this concept came to me out of the Gospels, you know, that refer to Jesus' crucifixion. Mark chapter 15. And we can look at verse 33 and go down. And when the sixth hour, about midday, had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock. And at the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me, deserting me and leaving me helpless and abandoned? And some of those standing by and hearing it said, see, he's calling Elijah. And one man ran, filling a sponge with vinegar, a mixture of sour wine and water, and put it on a staff made of a bamboo-like reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, hold off. This is what some of the folks said. Let's see whether Elijah does come to take him down. See how bad a religion can mess you up. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed out his life. He uttered a loud cry and breathed out his life. And look at verse 38, key scripture. And the curtain of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Amen? Now, in some of the gospel writings, it would then say that this signifies that the way into the Holy of Holies was now made open for all men. Amen? that we could come into the presence of God without anything hindering us anymore, religion, priest, prophet, or whoever. We could enter into the presence of God ourselves. This is what we could do personally. Amen. And so the Lord began to deal with me and show me that that veil that was torn from top to bottom is still in place in many believers' lives because of the way that they think, the way that they have shaped their beliefs in their religion and their worship. In your own thoughts, you tend to want to go to the place where you say, I'm not worthy. Well, you know, he knew that before you ever got a hold of it. Right? You know, doesn't take a scientist to come up with that. You know, once you get saved, you begin to realize that God has done an awesome thing in your life. You know, none of us were worthy, are worthy, ever will be worthy. But that's not the issue. For God so loved the world. That is the issue. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever. How many whosoevers do I have in here this morning? You see? You are a whosoever. And all you need to do is to believe the proclaimed gospel that comes to you. And stand on that gospel. And listen. Believing doesn't mean that you make nothing happen. It really doesn't. Believing doesn't mean that you make anything happen. Believing puts you in a position where you can keep the devil off your back. While God does his work. God's going to do what he said he was going to do. You can't stop that. You can't stop that. You're saved now. You can't stop God from accomplishing in your life what he wants to accomplish. How are you going to stop God? Jonah wasn't even saved, and he ended up in the belly of a big fish because he was trying to stop God. Was he successful? Well, what makes you think you're going to be successful? And God don't even need a fish to get you where you need to be. He don't even have to use a fish. He speak one word and just tear you up. Just one word. You can't eat, can't sleep, have trouble chewing gum and walking at the same time. You just all messed up because God's speaking into your life. Right? It's not very difficult for God to get you where you need to be. Not at all. He gets lots of people in great places to do great things for him that's just as dumb, don't know much about the word as you do. But he needs somebody over there to do it, so he gets them ready and gets them over there. They come out of it, look back at it and think, my Lord, how in the world did you use me to do that? And all you can do, I've heard preachers and other ministry leaders say stuff like, just God. They can't even give you an explanation. Just God. How many of you would like to have some of them just God moments? I'd love to have some just God moments. I can't get no credit in this. I don't want no credit in it. But I'd like to have some just God moments. Hallelujah. Well, so I've got to believe. Now my believing, now just understand, just because I believe doesn't mean I'm making anything happen. I got to get away from that kind of mentality. They came to Jesus and they said, what must we do the great works of God? He said, believe on him whom God sent. He didn't say believe on your ability to believe or do anything. Believe on him whom God sent. And that's Jesus. Jesus is a culmination, the fullness of everything that the gospel says in his person. You believe on him. Right? Now that keeps you in position before God so that God can operate in your life like he wants to without you just, you know, having your ups and downs. Right? Because, I mean, after all, the Lord said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, but I'll be with you even until the end of the age. But that doesn't mean he likes going on that roller coaster ride with you. He ain't going to leave you, but that don't necessarily mean he likes being on that roller coaster ride. You understand what I'm saying? There are some places that you and I go that we don't have to go. There are some downs that we have that we do not have to go through. It's not ordained of God. Now, he'll be with you. He'll stay with you. But he don't care to be going into those places. He already knows that he's giving you victory over it. So why you want to go over there in the first place? I think the thing that bothers the Lord is that we waste so much time. We waste a lot of time when we can be making progress. All we have to do is just accept what he says.
That's right.
Right? And so we don't end up down there. What are you doing down there, Elijah? Didn't I say I was going to make all things straight? Get up and down in there. I'm talking like he would talk if he was the God that came to meet me over on Prairie Hill in Seneca, over there in the black community. That was the hood before they ever called it the hood. In my day, it wasn't called the hood. It was just where we live. Amen? What you doing down there, June? I made it straight. I brought the high places down and the low places up, and it's a level plane now.
Hallelujah.
He said, Joshua, why are you down on your face crying and bawling? Get up on your feet.
Amen.
God wants you to walk.
Yes, he
wants you to walk. Yes. Crawling around, acting like some kind of reptile, you know. God wants you to get up on your twos and walk on them things. Walk like you somebody, because you are. Stand up and square your shoulders. Lift that chin up. Get up off the ground. Don't look right, your chin hanging way down there. Hallelujah. Come on now. Romans. We did Romans 1 and 16, didn't we? Did we do 17?
No.
Now go back to Romans. Hallelujah. It's really an awesome life. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. This is just an awesome, superb experience that God has afforded us. If we would only take advantage of it. Just take advantage of it. I really don't care, not because I'm not empathetic towards you. I really don't care what your life situation is, because God will make it better. So I don't have to be all concerned about where you're at and down because you ought to be doing better. Or why don't you see that God has more for you? If the Holy Spirit can't convince you, I'm going to lunch. I'm going to get me a sandwich and enjoy my day. He can't convince you. I'm not going to waste a good jalapeno on you. And I still love you. And I'm still praying for you. But I'm not going to waste my time. Because that's in you. That's between you and the Lord. And not between me and you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. And God didn't call me to be stressed out over things like that. No. I'm a dispenser of the gospel. That's what I am. I've got to make sure that what comes out of me is the gospel. I got to get the word out. That's my job. And the word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It will do the work that needs to be done. I can't anoint the word at all.
None.
I can't make the word of God more powerful. I just need to do my job and get it out of my mouth to you. Right? Look at verse 17 in Romans chapter 1. For in the gospel, in the proclamation of the good news of Christ, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. Now just stop right there. In the gospel, in the proclaimed gospel of Jesus Christ, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. Now he made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He put that clothing on us when we got saved. He adorned us in righteousness and called us righteousness. So there should be revelation coming out of us. There should be revelation coming out of us, out of this righteousness that God has made us. Amen. See? That's why you got to have information. In, watch this now. You got to define everything because people don't see it unless you define it. Look at me. In, everybody ain't looking yet. In formation. Right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you is formed, has been formed, Christ, the hope of glory. So that's why revelation should be coming out of you. You are the righteousness of God. Revelation should be coming out of you. Just you being in a place should make people aware of stuff without you opening your mouth. Just you, because you are the righteousness of God. See? So in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith. Whose faith is it? It's your faith. Both springing from faith and leading to faith. Are we not going from faith to faith?
Yes.
Isn't that a part of this growth that we're in? We're springing from faith and we're leaping up to another level of faith. And we're leaping up to another level of faith. See, when you're growing, you get glimpses of the faith that you're going to. You don't see the whole thing, but you get glimpses of it. And you go toward that. Just that glimpse, oh, taste and see is enough for me. Right? Just a taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Those glimpses satisfy me to the point that I'm leaping toward that next place. I'm leaping. Just a glimpse. Just a glimpse, and I'm going, because I know my Lord. He said my sheep won't follow another. I know him, so I'm you know, that's another way of saying we need to be prompt to do it, believers. Prompt to obey, prompt to follow, right? Step up to it, give yourself to it. When you see him dealing with you, don't be saying I need to pray about nothing. I know my Lord's voice. I'm following him.
Amen.
Now, leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. I like that kind of language. Might be a little bit much for you, but I just love it. Faith leading to faith. In other words, disclosed through the faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. Are you being aroused this morning? I mean, I know you woke up, you got your clothes on, put your makeup on, put on your cologne, comb your hair, brush your teeth, wax your head if you're like me, whatever you did. You thought you were awake. And now you're in the presence of God and he's arousing you. Holy Ghost alarms going off and you're waking up. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. You see that? The man who through faith is just. You are just through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace and faith, you accepted him as your Savior, right? You're a just person. And you're upright. You are. You're upright. And he said, now this is how you should live. You shall live by faith. Now, what does that mean? Faith comes by hearing. So the proclaimed gospel of Jesus Christ is the tool that God uses to excite you in your faith. That's what he uses. The proclaimed word of God. And you hear it and it excites you in your faith. And you recognize, wait a minute, I've been praying to get something I've already got. I've been praying to be something I already am. Now that ought to be exciting. It should be. To know that you already have what you believe for. You already have. You really do. That's not fictitious, you know, hopeful, idealistic talking, you know, to make somebody feel good. That's realization. Right? That's getting into the absolutes of God. Because in our little old sick idea of promise, we think promise that when God promises us something, it's based on, now Johnny, you be good, and Mommy Gee, you a sucker. Right? That's in our sick thinking, we go all the way back to our childhood. Somebody made us a promise and they broke it. So we think promises are made to be broken. But I got good news for you. Our God is the author of unbroken promises. Hallelujah. He never broken a promise that he's ever given. And to make sure that that never happens, he went ahead and fulfilled it. He's just waiting for you to catch up with. That's why he uses the gospel. He proclaims it to you. Because it is. Say it is.
It is.
Say it's mine.
It's mine.
Say I have it now.
I have it now.
See? And the more you proclaim that, the more your eyes begin to open spiritually so you can see, I have that. This is mine. I possess this. This is in my salvation experience. It's in my born-again regenerate spirit right now. I have it. I really do. If you can't believe that, then why do you want to be a Christian? If the gospel is telling you that God has met all of your need, why in the world would you doubt that? Man, I'm just a seeing to believe kind of fella. When I see it, I'll believe it. You're going to have a very difficult time serving God. Because he sees a whole bunch of invisible stuff. Expecting you to believe every one of it. Most of the stuff that God talks about is invisible. And you said you were seeing to believe kind of fella. I'm afraid you're going to have a hard time in this walk. We're going to have to decloak your whole mind. Because thinking like that is going to get you in trouble. Oh my. Well, you see the problem we have, don't you? This is why this kind of message is so necessary. Because there are believers that just trying to be honest and truthful, they're deceiving their own self. trying to be honest and truthful. You know, but they're going about it the wrong way. See, you got to go about this God's way. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of God. And things in the kingdom of God are done differently from things in the kingdom of this world and of men. They're different. And you have to follow God's way of doing things if you're going to get the benefit of what God has made available for you. You just have to change. You just have to change. I have to change.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, should I get into the rest of this? Whew. Okay. Verse 18. For by God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Now, what we don't realize is when we refuse to accept the way of faith, we're repressing the truth and we're making it inoperative in our own personal life. And this upsets God to the point that he has to pour out wrath. See, God is satisfied when it comes down to anger and disappointment, impatience. He is totally, completely satisfied in what Jesus accomplished for us. So he doesn't operate in that. You know, that's why America is way past being judged for its sins. We've aborted more babies than they killed at the Holocaust.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Right? And we've killed more babies than have been killed in certain wars that America has been involved
in.
And we're still going. You know why? Because of Jesus.
Right.
If Jesus hadn't gone for Calvary, to Calvary, and provided salvation, God's wrath wouldn't have been subsided, wouldn't have been tempered, wouldn't have been satisfied. But because it has, he's not immediately acting in wrath against the sin of mankind like he did in days of old. And that's why we're still going. I'm glad.
Amen.
Are you glad?
Yes,
you know, I got some more shopping I want to do and some more vacations and, you know, more people I want to reach for Christ, more work to do for God. And if he just poured out his wrath because of America's sin, we'd all be enveloped. Because we sinned enough to bring down the stars, the moon, and the sun, and everything else and burn up this land. But Jesus, my God, whoo, he satisfied the wrath of God. Now you got to understand when he says in verse 18, for his holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. He's not talking about your common everyday secular guy.
No.
They don't know the truth. They don't know the truth. The only people that are intimately acquainted with the truth is those of faith.
Amen. Amen.
God's people. To he that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. So, I don't want to find out how God's wrath is going to be revealed against me because I repress the truth. That sounds like it would take something really to move God to do that, because after all, he hadn't even judged America for what it's done.
Right.
In a secular way. Sinful. Worldly. Secular way. As a nation. And I'm going to move him to wrath against me because I repress what he's bringing to me, what he's revealing to me. I don't want to know what that is. No, thank you. No testimony from me. You want to testify? You want a testimony service? So you can testify to it? I don't even want to be at your testimony service. I don't want to know nothing about the wrath of God.
Right.
Nothing!
Right.
I don't even want to be a roach under my foot, let alone be under the wrath of God. I don't want to be subject to black flag. You know what I'm talking about? Spraying nothing on me. No, I don't want to know that. We've got a lot of incentive to give ourselves to this and to overcome our personal fears.
Amen.
Just overcome it. Get over it. For that which is known about God is evident to them. Oh, you know he ain't talking about an everyday sinner. Come on now. And made plain in their inner conscience because God himself has shown it to them. See, this is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. See, understand, we're dealing with the gospel now, right? We're dealing with the gospel. Folk in the world, even if they are bearing, you know, the result of sin in their body, they're still not convinced that it's against God's will. Because they'll continue to commit that sin and kill themselves for the enjoyment of it. They're not convinced. It's happening every day. People are dying, giving themselves up completely to what it is that they sensually want to do. Some of them are eating themselves to death. You'd be surprised the people that in America that eat themselves to death in our nation, overcome by eating. Some of them get so big and they swell up so much up in here, they can't breathe. That's the truth, right? And then there's other things. Your human anatomy can really get hooked on about anything. It don't have to make no sense. It don't have to make no sense at all. If you give yourself to it, you could get hooked on eating ants. I mean, really, it didn't make any sense. All you got to do is just give yourself up to it. And it will overcome you through your thought life. Now, we don't need to repress the truth. We need to yield ourselves to the truth. See, and don't say things like, I don't understand it. Don't say things like, I'm not getting it. Agree with the truth by saying, I received that by faith, Lord. That's not lying.
No, it's not.
See, when you say, I believe that and I receive that by faith, then you are in a place where you're agreeing with God. And because you're in a place where you are agreeing with God, then God is able to make you literally see it.
Hallelujah.
Till you're satisfied.
Hallelujah.
And that's what you want.
Yes,
I want to see it till I'm satisfied. That's how I want to see it. Amen? And then it doesn't make any difference what happens in the world. I've got this.
Right.
Oh, we got a political thing going on right now. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Yes, I am, but it's not because of your policies. It's because I'm a tither, glory to God. Yeah, I'm better off. I was better off 4 years before the last 4 years. I've been saved for a while. I haven't been going back. I can't tell you the last time that I've regressed and went back. I've been going forward ever since I've been saved.
That's the truth.
And God, in his mercy, even when I made mistakes and fell on my face and just flat out sinned, picked me up, dusted me off, gave me a new wax job, put me on a new set of tires and said, get back on the road. And not only that, gave me some new rims. Shiny rims. Amen. Made Elijah's chariot and his driver jealous. Yeah, they're jealous than the stuff we're riding in. It's better than that. That's old covenant chariot. Even if an angel was driving it. Woo, I like this stuff. I'm just trying to encourage you. Because, see, in our Bible study time, when we have dialogue and you bring promises and we look at those, you know, you're going to break those down and you're going to realize, my God, I have this now. I don't have to confess this and believe this to have it. This is a part of the salvation experience that I've received through Christ Jesus. It's mine now. And you see, the reason why some of us would question some of that is because of our present dilemma or our present test or our present trial. But honey, the way for you to overcome that is to not to repress the truth and accept what God is saying and watch the anointing on your reception of the truth. You're confident, right? What was it? He said we had comfort, we had firm reliance, right? Confident surrender and personal trust. That was worth coming this morning right there. Just that one little old word. That's worth getting up and brushing your teeth right there, brother. Just to get that much. If I just operate in that, the anointing on that whole concept is going to flow out of me. Remember, I am the righteousness of God, and there is a faith revealed through me. That's going to come out of me in my present situation, and that's what's going to change things. Not God showing up. I showed up. I came alive in truth. I manifested revelation. I proclaimed out of my mouth what the will of God is. I'm telling you, a lot of the gospel that is preached is throwing people off course. Praying and seeking God and sacrificing, and God showed up and showed out. Some of that is not applicable in these areas of walking by faith and not by sight. There are some things that God is not going to come down and do for you.
Amen.
Now you got to accept that.
Amen.
There are some things that God is not coming down to do for you because they're already done and you just need to walk in the reality of it.
Amen.
You need to step out in faith in the reality of it and let God have his way in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Shed that old stubborn alligator skin. Put it on your feet and wear it. But don't, amen, walk around in it like it's a robe of righteousness. Shed that old stubborn skin and just have confident reliance, confident surrender, personal trust. Just rest in it. Watch him act. You know, I remember as a young believer, I learned this, but I didn't know what I was learning. I picked up on it. I noticed that God was making things happen for me without me doing much of anything except believing. As a young believer. And I would come up against situations, and then I'd step back and look at it, and I would think, now I'm just going to watch and see how God fixes this. I'm just going to see, because I had seen him doing it so many times. I said, I'm just going to watch and see how he did. And he would always do it so sneaky that he'd get it done. And then I'd have to catch up and try to see. And I still couldn't see how he did. He always moves so swiftly and so sweetly. It's just like he just, I don't know, he leaves you in the dust. And he'll just accomplish what needs to be done. And you're waiting and you're looking like, I'm going to see how he does this. And he does it and you're still waiting and looking. You're starting to see. And then you realize it's done. But I didn't see you do it. Now, wait a minute. That's the way he operates. See? And that's the whole principle behind this. You have much of what you have thought was a promise to you in the gospel. You already have it. And the Lord is helping you to come to a place where you realize it. Right? A lot of things that we're trying to strive to believe, we shouldn't have to strive to believe it at all. Say, it's mine now. I possess it. It's mine. I'm above. I'm not beneath. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. You see, I'm a co-inheritor with Christ. Now, wait a minute. Co-inheritor with Christ, which means Christ is an inheritor. Christ is an inheritor. So he's still receiving stuff. He's in heaven seated at the right hand of God, and he's still receiving. And I'm a co-inheritor with him. Now, he made it real by saying, you are seated with me in heavenly places. Right? Now, James and John might have fussed about who's going to sit on the right hand of the Father, because the mother came and said, Lord, would you grant me anything that I ask of you? Would you grant that my sons would sit with you on the right hand of the Father in heaven? And Jesus said, now, lady, now I know you're part of Women's Aglow and all of these organizations, and y'all doing a great work for God with intercessory prayer meetings. But there are some things that only God can grant. Amen? It's not for me to grant that your son sit at the right hand of me beside the Father. It's this kind of thing. And you know why he was saying that? Because all of us are going to have the same seat.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know you wouldn't like it if I was sitting closer to Jesus than you. You want to be the one that's get to sit close to him. I like my pastor. I love him down here. But when I get to heaven, I want to be close to Jesus. And if I was sitting close to him, and you, every time you come over to see him, you had to come through me, you wouldn't like that. So spiritually speaking, all of us are going to be seated in the same place. Because God has no respect of persons. And whether you came in at 5 this evening, or 1 o'clock this morning, or yesterday, you're going to be rewarded the same. See that? It's just not the way we think it is. It's better than that. Glory to God. I'm glad. It's better than that. So Jesus is still receiving. He's at the right hand of the Father. Jesus said, you're seated with me in heavenly places. So we're seated right there in Jesus' lap. We're seated in the right there with him in heavenly places. I mean, because after all, everything that he did it for you.
Yes.
Why would he take a seat and receive something that you couldn't have?
Amen.
Is it getting better? Is anybody waking up or being aroused anymore? Why would he be seated somewhere to receive something for himself when he has no need? He's sitting there in our stead. Now, one of the things that God has to do, and the only way he can do it is in a spirit-filled believer and one that is in the Word, who's looking into the perfect law of liberty and recognizing that the reflection that they're seeing is the very image of Christ. God has to continually work in us to bring us to a place to show us our importance to him. He has the work to show us our importance to him. You're very important to him. Now, he didn't go to the trouble to create you in his image just to give you a low ranking. When he said he created you in his image, I mean, that means that he thinks very highly of you.
Hallelujah.
You're in a greater place than all of the angels and any other created thing that God has ever created. Because nothing else can confess or make the testimony that, yeah, but I was created in his image. Now, when you and I can come, and the body of Christ can come to that place where we can see the relevance and the importance of that, it wouldn't be so hard for us to allow the Lord to download these realities in our lives and for us to begin to display it by revelation. It wouldn't be so hard. And when God speaks to you in some very difficult situations and say you're going to change that, you would just step right into it. But you can't do that until you understand how important you are to God, how significant you are to God. That's what this is all about. God wants to manifest his glory through you on the earth and make the difference in some very difficult situations. But I've got to accept who I am. I've got to get to the place where I can say with Moses, this is what God said about himself. I am that I am. I've got to get to the place where I can accept that as my testimony. I am. See, I am. God made me. I am. And then I accept that, see. And I have the scripture to keep me in balance. I have the scripture to keep me on point. And I don't have to go off to some crazy place. You know, and the more the scripture I have, the more humble I am. Really. Even though I recognize who I am, I become more humble because, it's only by the grace of God. Jesus said, if you abide in me, vitally united to me, right? And if I abide in you, and my words abide in you, you ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's what we all should have as a goal that we are to ascend to, where I can ask whatever I will and it will be done. Do you know that that is an absolute and a promise all wrapped up in one? That is just the way God said it and has settled it, and that's the way it is. And if I will just agree with him and allow him to bring me to that conscious place of who I really am and what he desires to do, he wants me to be in a place where I will begin to decree a thing and it come to pass because I decreed it.
Hallelujah.
It just comes to pass because I decreed it. And it's not so much unlike Elijah. When God spoke to him and showed him what he was going to do, he just walked up to that old wicked king and he said, you know what? I ain't going to allow it to rain for 3 years. He walked up to him and said it confidently and walked out. And then they went into a drought for 3 years. God provided for the man of God after he decreed the thing. Huh? He had foot-long steak subs and peach, come on, y'all know where I'm going. Milkshakes. I'm talking about present day Elijah, you know. I ain't talking about way back there. I'm talking about us. Amen. That man was provided for, and those people went in the drought, and the wicked suffered. Because the wicked was in agreement against God. Right? And then At the end of it, the man came back on the scene, not God. And the man said, "You better get up in your chariot and get home, because it's getting ready to rain, old buddy." It's getting ready to rain, old buddy. And the Bible says that rascal got up in his chariot and took off, and Elijah got anointed to run. And he took off running and beat the fella. And God sent the rain. Now, that's supposed to be true for us today. God is looking for not an Elijah, but for a whole troop of Elijahs. The whole body of Christ, if we would operate in the same ability and power and faith and confidence, oh man, reliance on God, personal trust in God, knowing Him to that point where He could speak to us like that, because we are united, we are abiding in Him, and His word is abiding in us. We just say what God says with confidence. And watch Him do it. Don't you know that that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to go out of here?
That's the truth.
That's the way the body of Christ is. We are supposed to affect this planet until the time of the rapture. And then when we're raptured out of here, they're going to know we're gone, because everything's going to go downhill real quick. Now that's where we're supposed to be going. And that's why I've got to say, I believe it because God said it. I ain't arguing with God over nothing. I ain't arguing with you. I walk out of your presence, just leave you standing over there. If you want to argue over something God said and what He's doing, bye.
Amen.
I'll give you back your friendship over that. You want it back? I give you back your friendship. I don't have to have it.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I'd rather have God.
Amen.
Now I can have Him in you too. But if you decide to repress the truth and go in another direction, bye-bye. Hopefully I'll see you in the rapture. That old song. Hopefully I'll see you in the rapture. Amen. Come on, we say, "I'm not going to repress the truth. I'm going to receive it. Because the truth makes me free. And I'm free indeed." Come on, now give the Lord some praise, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.